The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Downtown Las Vegas. It is Monday morning. A chilly. I'll be honest. I was nippy walking across Fremont this morning here. This is a numbers game. I'm Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin here with us as well. Awesome first hour. Jay Kahn with some really good stuff on the NHL. So if you missed that segment, be sure to rewind. Listen to all the good stuff because we've got some interesting puck droppings across the ice world. Not only tonight, but this week is the NHL second round. The first round finally concluded yesterday. RIP VGK. It was a good run, but their season unfortunately came to an end yesterday at the hands of the Dallas Stars. Quick turnaround for the Stars. They've got to play tomorrow. Now they are at home. They've got to play tomorrow against the Avs. Even quicker turnaround for the Bruins, who are on the road down in Sunrise tonight. So they played Saturday, had to get right on a plane, get down to Florida, start their second round series tonight. Jake really likes Florida, not only in this game, but also to win the series. So do that what you will. All right, let's move on to, I guess, a little bit of baseball talk, Kelly, because we've neglected my beautiful Nerfies for the first hour of the show, but we're getting into it.
You are absolutely right, but I want to ask you one more NBA question before we come back like 30 minutes later. As a Knicks fan, okay, I feel for the Knicks fans so much.
Thank you. It's been a rough journey.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. But do you feel better when you hear betters coming out and being like, we're supporting this team now? Or does that make you feel worse? Like, I've got even more people now that are going to bring this down.
I think so. I've had a complicated relationship.
Because you know
when
you get that feeling as a better, right? When everybody ends up on the same side and you're like, I don't like this when everybody thinks this way. But as a fan, it's a little different.
To me, it's one thing if everyone thinks that way and the market doesn't respond. That's when I get really scared. When I hear, and let's be honest, we work in a very small industry. Yeah. I know the gambling industry seems gigantic and sprawling because everybody's putting out picks these days. But the gambling industry, the real Vegas gambling industry, people that work in this circle, it is a very small circle. Information gets around very quickly. For you to say, like, you heard something from someone else, probably 10 other people in your circle have already heard the exact same thing. My point being, when I hear multiple things from that circle come at me, hey, love the Knicks in the series, love this matchup for the Knicks, and I've heard that many times, the market doesn't move, that's when I'm like, well, all you sharp bettors are all loving the Knicks. Why hasn't the market moved yet? The market has responded here. We've seen, I want to say, a 30-cent move off the series price.
Yeah, I mean, I bet as soon as it opened at minus 215, I don't think you're getting much closer to that.
250
right now.
It's kind of in that range. So a pretty, I don't want to say a wacky, like, off-the-rails move, but I would say a notable move towards the Knicks in the series. And I think that is at least, I don't want to say comforting, because now the expectations are even higher.
Right.
But it definitely feels better when the market responds in tow to all of the noise that we hear.
I think that's a great answer. That's a great answer. I've got too many Knicks fans in my life, man. Like, I'm worried. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I got phone calls and texts that need to be made every single night. Oh, man, it's something.
It's going to be, let's leave it at this. I used to drive when I lived in Michigan, and the snow was really bad. White knuckle ride. Like, you know, you're dry. You have to get somewhere, but it's a blizzard or snow.
Yeah, never doing that again.
You're white knuckle on the steering wheel the whole ride. Like, you're just like, all right, make sure you don't swerve. That's how a Knicks playoff series feels. And I'll be honest, the game, I think it was game 5.
What a great comp.
I know. It's a white knuckle. Actually, I have to credit my mom for that because she's the one that started that with me. Because she's from the Catskill Mountains of New York, and when she used to drive, and she's like, oh, it's
like driving down a mountain in snow,
My mom's got these sayings that now I use them, and I'm approaching 40, and I'm like, yep, I'm an old man now. But it's gonna be a white-knuckle series, because I do think the way that the Knicks play is not conducive to a relaxing, out style. Like, they play bully ball, and those games tend to be close. So I don't think it's going to be a relaxing experience for me. But,
oh man,
let's be honest, there's not a lot of teams that just cruise through the postseason unless you're like the 2015 Warriors that went on that crazy run.
All right, let's go Knicks.
Yeah,
I'm supporting. Let's go Knicks. Remember that. always supporting you, Jared.
Until the next round when you bet Boston, probably.
Yeah. At least for four games.
At least
games,
for the next
okay?
week or two. Kelly's on the bandwagon, the orange and blue, and then he'll bleed green and white. All right, speaking of bleeding green, man, my baseball bankroll, so it has been a wild 10-day stretch for me betting everything. So let's start with the draft when I had one of the best gambling nights of my life. Shout out Doug Kazarian for giving out the 60-1 on the Raiders to take a tight end. I got a piece of that. A couple of other great. Will Hill had a you know, and again, we did the draft podcast with a bunch of different people, so I was kind of pulling a lot of different stuff. Will Hill gave out a great prop on Joe Alt. Remember all that Latham steam?
Yep.
Will Hill gave out the Ford. I think it was 4-5-1 on Alt to still go to the Chargers. So it was a great draft night for me. And in the 9 days between the draft and the Kentucky Derby, which was also a fantastic day, that 9-day stretch, I want to say I gave back like every dime that I made on baseball. That is how rough the baseball season has been for me betting-wise so far. We were talking about this before the show. I think there's an element of, let's call it, I don't want to say juiced, but the baseballs are certainly not flying as far as a lot of people expected them to. Run scoring's down, home runs down across Major League Baseball. The Nerfy has been incredible through the first, let's call it, 6 weeks of the season. The Nerfy right now is, I think, one of the more intriguing bets on the board most nights because run scoring's down. Of course, I'm the Yerfy Nerfy King, so that's where I look at. But I think overall in baseball, Kelly, it does seem like we haven't seen that uptick in scoring yet. You said weather. I agree the weather could be part of it, but I think a lot of it too, the pitchers just tend to be ahead of the hitters at this stage of the year.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. You love attacking the first inning.
I love the first inning market. So tonight, again, take these picks with a grain of whatever grain you're eating these days, because I have been on an epic baseball cooler. But I do like the Nerfy in Minnesota tonight. You've got Castillo pitching for Seattle. Anytime he's going, I always like the Nerfy. He's one of the better Nerfy pitchers in baseball. And this young kid from Minnesota has shown me some really good sparks so far. Simeon Woods Richardson, 3-0 to the Nerfy so far. He's got fantastic numbers in the first inning. Again, outdoor game in Minnesota. Another Nerfy angle I like. I love teams that aren't necessarily familiar with a ballpark going to that ballpark for the first time. Not the first time that Seattle's played in Minnesota. It is it's a same league matchup, so they go there every year, but it's not a matchup that they go to often. It's also, again, an outdoor city. I don't know what the weather's going to be like in Minneapolis. I'm hoping for 50 degrees wind blowing in tonight because they play in that goofy outdoor stadium at Target Field in May. If it's cold here in Vegas in May, it can absolutely be cold in Minneapolis. Cold weather, wind, obviously all of those things favor the pitchers. The other one I like tonight, this Oakland team has been really interesting this year. They've been winning a lot more games than we expected. Will Hill on Saturday, we were doing the show, he said Oakland to make the playoffs at, like, I think you can get them at like 200-1 to be the sixth seed. Like, the way that the playoffs are structured now in baseball, there's openings for these, right, you know, yeah, craptastic teams like Oakland. But Oakland just lost their leadoff man, Esteban Ruiz. And the same thing happened to the Marlins this week with Arise. And if you know about the Marlins offense, after Luis Arise at the top, it's like a nothing burger after nothing burger. Gross. After nothing burger. So when a team like that, that's so reliant on a leadoff hitter, and Ruiz, one of the better leadoff men in baseball, he steals a ton of bases. He's really active, you know, getting on infield hits, kind of a big speed guy. One of their better players. Keep an eye on the lineup tonight for Oakland. If he's not in the lineup for Oakland, love the Nerfy. Andrew Heaney tonight on the road. Hasn't been fantastic through his first six starts of the year. He's kind of split the baby on the Nerfy 3-3, but he's a guy that's a lefty, tough to pick up. And this Oakland Stadium, I love betting Nerfies in this Oakland Stadium because for some reason, the games usually start in Oakland 6:40 local time, and the shadows, because of the weird cavernous nature of the stadium, I notice in the first inning in Oakland, there's always a weird shadow sticking out somewhere, which always favors the pitcher. Obviously, later in the game, it gets dark, the shadows go away. It only applies to the first inning, mm-hmm, or, you know, the first three innings maybe. So I always keep an eye on Nerfies in Oakland when I've got average pitching matchups because I get a decent price, and I know I'm getting – let's add 5 or 10 cents to the Nerfy price just on the shadows alone.
tougher to pick up the breaking balls. Heaney, you know, throws that weird gyro spinner. Alex Wood on the other side for Oakland. Again, a weird, funky lefty. Texas had plenty of experience out there in the Oakland ballpark, so that handicap doesn't apply. But
plus, you know,
Texas offense hasn't been great so far.
Plus, when you know there's like 73 fans in the stand too, it's got to allow the pitchers more time to concentrate. You know what I mean? So that's got to be part of it too.
Have you guys talked about the Oakland Vegas move yet?
A little bit, but man, I was laughing. What was it? Saturday night, yeah. Watching the highlights when they dropped 20 on the Marlins, and you're like, there's 20 runs being scored. There's that many fans in the stands.
There's definitely not.
There's that many feral cats running around.
So absolutely. We know that. Well, the famous Oakland story about the stadium that I will always remember is, I think it was the Yankees were in town one weekend, and the toilets in the dugouts overflowed, and there was just like sewage like running through the dugout. And it'd be one thing if that happened like in the porta potty upstairs on the mezzanine level. This is in the dugouts with Major League Baseball players like having to wade through sewage to get to their bats and their batting gloves. But again, yeah, farewell. That
Marlins
stadium
today is catch the action.
I bet the Nerfy all three games of that series went 2-1. That series screamed Nerfy. Once they traded Luis Arraez, yeah. And they traded him. They traded Luis Arraez like right before the game started.
Yeah.
I remember watching the game. Luis Arraez is in the dugout in uniform saying goodbye to his teammates. You don't see that very often.
Gil and I were sitting here talking about fewest wins like a week ago, like last Monday or Tuesday, and I'm like, what? Couldn't the Marlins just like be the Marlins and trade anybody left that's good? And that's exactly.
I think the Marlins might have the worst record this year. White Sox are up there too. You know who doesn't have the worst record? Actually, no, my baseball record's been crap. But hey, bet some Nerfies tonight. We'll get back to it on the other side of Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we are back. Beautiful. I'll call it average Monday morning here in Las Vegas weather-wise. I think it'll get better as the day
really
goes on.
You were really bitter about this. Wow.
It was bitter outside. I'll be honest. When we get to May 1st, I want to be like shirtless on my balcony every day. I don't want to wear a sweatshirt.
Some of these Vegas people, man. Like, they are. And you've become one of them.
I'm soft.
You're South Florida Vegas.
I am soft.
I should be the same way. But yeah, it is. Everybody can't wait till it's 100 degrees out here.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what are we rushing for?
I think I want to live in the middle. We love living in the middle in the gambling space. I wish I could bag, like, April was a good month weather-wise. I wish I could bag April and like just sell it for the rest of the year.
No, November. Like, November. I always take November out here.
Yeah, I agree. November's a fantastic weather.
Because I always feel like in the fall we get the gradual decline. In the spring it goes from like 40 to 90 in like a week. And yeah. Like, what happened?
We've had some, and again, I'm a big weather guy. Newsflash, I'm a nerd. So I like when things like, you know, move drastically because it's like, oh, something's happening that's never happened before. Let's talk about it. And that's kind of what the weather is here in Vegas. Like, it coming from the East Coast, I'm used to two things, humidity and more humidity. There's none of that here.
Yep.
And so the fluctuations in weather, you feel them a lot more because when it goes from no humidity, 40 degrees to 100 degrees, it's like, whoa, you feel every degree of that temperature. Whereas I'll be honest, 80 degrees in humidity feels the same as like 60. Like feel the humidity in the air and that's all you feel. But the temperature swings here and the wind, it's the desert. It's got healing powers.
You know,
the desert.
You know, we don't get out here, Jared, and it's the best part of living here. Mosquitoes.
Don't get
no mosquitoes. No
bugs.
It's amazing. Yeah. I got to give a shout out real quick. Basically, might as well be a third member of the show, and I'm so glad Mike Alvarez tweeted this at me. Happy birthday, Bob Seger, who his music is usually playing in the background here. So happy birth, 79th birthday for Bob Seger.
79 years young, Bob Seger, one of the greats of the music space. All right, speaking of November, let's talk a little football. Because I did a segment on Saturday with Will Hill about the futures market in the NFL, and I got all the feels. It was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's February. Super Bowl's over, and then we had that little low March Madness. We're so focused on basketball. Then the draft happens, and it's like this little pop of football that plops up through the springtime. And now I'm kind of in that mindset of I'm not ready to really dive into the NFL, but I'm ready to start throwing some – opinions out there and seeing what sticks and seeing if there's a market that I think maybe is a little bit mispriced.
The other thing that's tough, Jared, is like I think we all used to, it's like our NFL betting interest would start to perk up when books would start hanging markets. But now, like, shops like DraftKings, they're up all year. So it's like there's never even like this great time like, okay, now we should start looking at it. So, yeah, all year we get to talk NFL.
So the markets that I'm interested in, here's kind of my sequence. I'll give you my sequence of how I handle the NFL offseason. February, March is like the dark months. Once the Super Bowl happens, I go dark for at least a month. I focus on basketball. I focus on other things. I kind of recalibrate. I don't care if there's odds posted. I don't care if there's news that breaks. I just let the market do its thing for at least a month. Then we get into April, and then obviously the focus shifts towards the draft. The draft is kind of its own standalone entity. I'll call it the kickoff for how I view the NFL market. Once the draft takes place, that's when I will start to look at all kinds of different markets. Win totals, futures, divisions. I think the win totals, I like to wait until we get closer to the season.
Full schedule, right?
The schedule is so important. I think we get it in June.
Yeah, let me look that up.
I want to say we get it maybe even May, maybe even this month. But if not, it's usually springtime, late spring, early summer. Then once we have the schedule, that's when I start making bets. Like, I don't even consider, unless you've got some insane long shot that you think in a index market that you think is going to move considerably based off of heavy news taking place over, you know, a draft player or something like that. I am not very interested in betting the NFL really hard with my futures portfolio until I get a schedule.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm laughing at the Akron Beacon Journal. Good on you for calling out the NFL for still not having a date set of when they're going to release the dates for the upcoming schedule.
Usually they have that set very far in advance, too.
I don't know. So I don't have
an answer. Usually they make like a whole party about it. They want you to set it on your calendar like it's your alarm clock in the morning because the NFL does not sleep.
I'm seeing a lot of articles about this, yeah.
If I had to bet, it's sometime this month we will get, because the NFL likes to have one event every month out of the year, like February Super Bowl, March Combine, right? April Draft, May schedule. So I think to me, the schedule will be out soon. Once the schedule is out, the win totals then take center stage. I like to try to find teams that I think might have an early start to the schedule, obviously bet over, teams that maybe have a tough start to the schedule, maybe bet under, but I think there's a million different ways to skin the cat. I know a lot of people get invested very early in the NFL futures markets. They like to bet long shots early. They like to try to pick off numbers. I think that's fine. If that's your strategy, that's fair. I'm a little more visceral with the NFL offseason. I like to see things happen, and then I like to bet them. And I know that's a very reactive way. I like to be a little more proactive than the regular season. But in the offseason, what do you really have to go off of except those news and those strands, those nuggets that you get? It is very hard, I think, to kind of time it right. But stick to your strategy. And let's be honest, you got to lock this money up for 8-9 months. Yeah. So you got to be prepared to, you know, sit there and watch it in your account.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I think once you get the schedule,
schedule's huge for me.
By the way, this is the best I could find. The schedule will be released in May.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
NFL hasn't given a specific date for the release show, but given recent history, this is from an article yesterday, it's expected to be on Thursday. So I don't know what kind of indication we're getting that it's on Thursday, but I guess we're getting it this week. I think schedule, though, that's when you can start attacking win totals. I think you could start attacking futures more. Like, I made a couple. What have I made? I made one division bet.
Yeah, what have you made so far?
So as division odds got posted, I bet the Bengals in the AFC North. And then I made two Rookie of the Year bets, but that's, you know, you're talking about the whole schedule of when you're making bets. It was draft. As soon as draft ends, you get Rookie of the Year odds up. And I did end up attacking a couple of those. I bet Xavier Worthy at 18-1. I mean, it's just, okay, plug a speedy wide receiver into an offense that needs wide receivers, and we've seen what they've done before. I like that. And then I bet Keon Coleman, which I just saw. I bet him at 50-1 on the opener. He's down to like 24-1. So that actually is
a fantastic bet so far to get so much.
Well, Jared, I'd like to say that, but I don't know how much of that is just like social media fame of Keon Coleman over the past week, and everybody's just going in and clicking, hey, let me get a piece of that.
And that to me, and these markets are very intriguing to me throughout the course of the offseason. I like to see who is that hot buzz player. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it is Keon Coleman. I didn't know he moved so much in that market. That's a big move in the market. So the Olroy market's interesting to me. I think both rookie of the year markets are interesting to me. I think Olroy, you've really got to have a hell of a season as a non-quarterback to win it.
Yeah.
We saw Ja'Marr Chase do it. I think we saw Saquon Barkley do it recently as well. So we've had rookies in the last decade, non-quarterbacks, win this award. But last year, C.J. Stroud won it, I would say, by midseason. That thing was wrapped up.
Yeah.
I think the quarterbacks this year, obviously you're not – if you're wasting your bankroll betting Caleb Williams at 2-1 right now, you can get him probably at 2-1 at any point during the preseason. Don't waste your time now. Keep that money in your bankroll. Try to, you know, make it larger. You can bet more on Caleb Williams if you do like him, because I think he is a guy that deserves to be the favorite. But I said this on Saturday. I don't think the gap between him and Jaden Daniels is as wide as the market's indicating.
I completely agree.
I think those guys are kind of 1A, 1B. Yep. And right now the market's saying that Jaden Daniels is a distant third in the market compared to Caleb Williams, who's a 2-1 short shot right now. So I'm not saying I'm overly enthused about sprinting to the window and locking up my money on a plus 650 for the next 6 months. But I do think when the season starts, Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams will be a little bit tighter. Maybe it could be Daniel stays the same and just Caleb drops, but it also could be Jaden jumps Marvin Harrison Jr. and becomes that number two option where you get a little bit of movement in your favor, but not enough for me to be very excited about a bet right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think with almost all these markets, especially the index ones like this that you're laying out, it is – look, you're trying to tack, you know, longer shots that you
trying
think
to find
are,
bets that you think are mispriced. You're not trying to pick the winner right now.
Exactly. You at least get some closing line value right as we head into the season. So that's what I did with the two wide receiver ones. You just named the name. They're like, I have a feeling at some point, I just don't think there's any rush right now.
Agreed.
At some point, I probably will be involved with Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
Like, I think a great point by you with the separation between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, but that I don't know how you price Marvin Harrison shorter than Jaden Daniels or any of the three quarterbacks at the top. I mean, yes, I bet a couple wide receivers. I bet a couple wide receivers on
50-1s. That's very good bets.
Longer odds on teams that have very good quarterbacks that win.
Winning
so
teams.
That's why I bet those. But yes, the quarterbacks are always going to have a major leg up. And then when we talk Jaden Daniels specifically, you've always got the running factor to fall back on, right? Even if he's struggling a little bit to get going with the arm to begin with, dude's going to run. So, if I had to make only one bet right now today, it would be Jaden Daniels with not even much second thought.
If the season started today, I'd bet Daniels at plus 650. I'm in no rush. That plus 650 will be there for a long time. Mike Somich will be here next. We're talking a lot of NBA and some horse racing. Derby was a thriller on Saturday.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, Ray, become your own sports betting expert. Look no further. VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, winning strategies. For a limited time, offering an annual subscription at a great price. Normally $240. You can now grab it for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free, 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. Use that promo code ANG with VSiN Pro. You'll get daily best bets, live programming, betting systems from pro cappers, and our betting splits where you can see where the money and bets are moving for every game. VSiN.com/subscribe. Claim your 14 months VSiN Pro for only $199 with the promo code ANG. A numbers game is back here on VSiN live from downtown Las Vegas. I'm Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander. Today, Kelly Bidlin with us as well. And now joining us is a guy who's been very busy over the last, I would say, week to 10 days talking all things ponies. He is Mike Somich, analyst here on the network. Does a great job breaking down what was a fantastic finish at the Derby, Mike. So I'll start there and then we will move on from horse racing in perpetuity for the rest of this segment, at least. I'm sure you'll do some stuff later as we've got more races coming up, but man, what a finish at Churchill Downs on Saturday.
Phenomenal race. It was a great finish, like you said. The first time we've had three horses in a photo since 1947. First time we've seen a trainer and jockey win both the Oaks on Friday and the Derby on Saturday since 1952. So very much a historic race. And you got to give all the credit to Brian Hernandez Jr. on Mystic Dan. If you go back, you watch the ride, not only what he did around the far turn, where he literally fit that horse through a keyhole on the rail. He came back with paint on his boots. He said he had to get a new pair of boots after the race because he scraped the rail with his shoe. But the to get him out of the gate so well and to be able to outbreak the one door knock and take that position on the rail, just a phenomenal job by Brian Hernandez Jr. to be able to do it. And now we've got an interesting setup for the last two Triple Crown races. We're going to see some new shooters come in for the Preakness. Muth most likely going to be your favorite in that race, and then we've got a lot of Derby horses who are saying they're going to be back at Saratoga for the Belmont as well. So it should be two exciting legs of the Triple Crown coming up.
Good stuff. And of course Michael have all the updates for the next leg of the Triple Crown coming up. I'm sure it'll be very busy over the next couple weeks getting everyone prepped. VSiN.com with that annual pro subscription, you can get all the picks and all the analysis for the Triple Crown. Great stuff across the board. All right, let's get to the NBA, Mike, because I was very excited when I saw your picks that were just sent to me from our producer Kelly Bidlin. You are on the Knickerbockers train here, not necessarily tonight, but the series you believe is the Knicks to lose.
I do. You look at the Eastern and Western Conference Finals, it feels like the Western Conference series are going to be phenomenal series on both of those. I don't have a big lean on either side of that, but you look at the East, feels like it's pretty much assumed at this point that we're going to see Knicks Celtics, and I agree with that. I think the Knicks have a big time advantage over this Pacers team. Pacers defense just struggled all year. They don't play very well on that side of the ball. This Knicks team should be able to get what they want offensively. And on the other side, the Knicks are going to play some solid defense against the Pacers. We're not sure what we're going to get from Haliburton. He looked like he was a little banged up in that first round series, and the Pacers really caught every break they could in that Bucks series. No Giannis, you got Lillard in and out. I think this is a series where the Knicks able to control it from the jump. I went out and I got them -1.5 games. You can get that right now, -125. I absolutely love that price. I think this is most likely Knicks 4-1, but to be able to get that extra cushion of a game and still just lay -125, I thought was a great number on the Knicks. And then on the other side, look, the Celtics just, they outman this Cavs team. We saw the Cavs really struggle to be able to get by an Orlando team, and I actually liked Orlando in that series. I thought that was a little mispriced. Would have enjoyed it if Orlando hadn't blown that game seven is the way they did, but Mitchell played phenomenal. I think he probably takes one game in this series from the Celtics, but I don't see how this isn't another 4-1 series. So I've laid the -125 with the Knicks minus a game and a half. And then I found a place, and DraftKings allows you to do this, to parlay the series prices. Wow. You can lay the Knicks -1.5, lay the Celtics -1.5, and get yourself +130 on that series parlay. I thought that was a great price for the Knicks and for the Knicks and Celtics to both win the series at least 4-2.
It's interesting, and we were talking about this during the break, because when I saw this parlay, I was like, man, there's probably not a lot of shops here in town in Vegas that let you do that. Obviously, DraftKings not permissible to bet on here in Vegas, but they are one of the shops that let you do it. Maybe a Caesars will, maybe an MGM will, but to be able to parlay futures prices, Mike, to me, it's a unique way to get some value, but I think you laid it out perfectly, because you don't necessarily want to just bet the series prices, but we are kind of already at that Knicks Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. So if you can figure out a way to mash those two together and still make a bet that is allowed in the DraftKings universe, I just think that's a fantastic way to play it.
Yeah, I was pretty happy when I saw that they would parlay it together. It's not allowed everywhere. A lot of books aren't going to let you do that. And some books will offer you, Eastern Conference matchup, and you can play Celtics Knicks. But that right now is sitting at +170, +185, or -170, -185 in most places. So to be able to go in and lay the game and a half in both series, which I think they have a significant edges for both the Celtics and Knicks in these two series. So to be able to lay the 1.5, parlay it together and get plus money, I thought was too good to pass up in this spot.
The reason why I love those types of bets, these games are never played on the same nights. It's like staggering a parlay, whereas one game gets played, let's say the Knicks are able to close it out in six, and then the next night it's Celtics-Cavs, and the Celtics need to win that game to win in six. Well, you can always protect yourself by betting Cavs plus the price on the other side, and the staggered nature to those bets when how you kind of laid it out, I think that just makes a ton of sense. You also think the Knicks tonight might be a decent wager. I'm not obsessed with laying six. I think this is the one game that I'm a little bit iffy on if Indiana kind of can, you know, strike lightning early on in the series before Tibbs kind of sinks his teeth in making those adjustments. But you think the Knicks tonight laying 6 points might be a decent wager?
I do like the Knicks tonight. I made this game 8, and I think we're going to see this line move up significantly later in the series. Like, I think if the Knicks take care of business tonight, you're not going to get 6 in game 2. You're going to see that 7.5, 8-point spread. And since that's what I made the game, I thought this was the right time to jump in on the Knicks. I agree with you. Tibbs gets better as we go along in the series. But in game ones, I'm taking the better team when I think I'm laying a number that has some value on it. I'm more worried about this Indiana team at home. That's when they play their best ball, specifically on the offensive side with role players being able to step up. And that's what we see consistently in the playoffs. So you get a game one, Madison Square Garden crowd. They're going to be going nuts in New York for this. And I'm not sure how they're stopping Brunson. To me, that's the big key here. It's that I just don't see anyone on the Pacers that can guard Jalen Brunson. And with what they've allowed for guards to get into the lane and be able to score on them, this is just a perfect matchup for Brunson to be able to go off and have a big series for the Knicks and just continue rolling, continue on what they were able to do in the first round.
Yeah, Brunson to drop 40 tonight, parlayed with the Knicks money line, I think is a, you know, you want to get some alt action. I love betting the alt props in the postseason, Mike. I think a lot of these numbers, we're basing it off of regular season totals. The matchups change, the rotations tighten up, and I think there's value in the prop market to play that lever up or down, depending on where the matchups lie. Let's move to the ice. I didn't expect you to give us a hockey pick today, but I love this wager, Bruins-Panthers first period under. So it was kind of funny because everyone was talking yesterday, Carolina, New York, they had like a week off from the series. They both had really quick first round matchups. And it was like, oh, maybe they're going to start slow because they had, you know, rust, right? Well, they started right out of the gates. They scored, I think, 4 goals in the first period. The opposite perhaps tonight, because you've got Boston that's coming off of a tough 7-game series. They played Saturday at home, get on a plane, go down to Florida, play Monday in Sunrise. Maybe a little slow start there on the ice in Sunrise.
I think it's going to be tough for the Bruins to jump right out of the gate, but the one thing that they lean on in these type of spots is their defense, being able to play solid neutral zone defense, not allow the rushes into their zone and easy shots. You've also got Swayman, who's playing phenomenal for them in goal. On the other side, this Panthers team, they were an offensive juggernaut. That's what they were known for last year. But if you fast forward to this year, they give up the second least goals in the NHL this year during the regular season. This is a Panthers team that knows how to defend. I think that you're going to see a very electric Panthers crowd. This is a rematch from last year where the Panthers won in 7. So you're going to see Boston take them seriously in this spot as well. I like the Panthers in the series. You can lay the goal and a half, or lay a game and a half in the series here, and you're able to get some plus money price on the Panthers. I believe it's plus 115 right now on DraftKings. So I would look at that as well. But to me, these first period unders are phenomenal bets in the playoffs because you do see tighter hockey, specifically early in these games. You don't have as many power plays, which generally leads toward these first period unders. And we've seen it over the last 6 or 7 games, the NHL playoffs. These unders have been hitting phenomenally. The one caveat to that is that Rangers game you mentioned yesterday, where both those offenses got rolling. We had a higher scoring game. I think that kind of calms down as we get later into the series. But, you know, I've had a great luck with these first period unders, being able to pick and choose which ones to play. I think tonight's another good shot at it because I do think the Panthers control the play in the first. But Boston's defense should be able to kind of handle some of that early push you see from this Panthers team. So, like the first period under quite a bit tonight, minus 125.
It happened big time in that. So, the Rangers-Hurricanes game, again, 4 goals in the first period, then a scoreless second. And then Carolina, you know, made it tight in the third. But the Rangers were able to, you know, hold on for a 4-3 win. So the game did go over. But after that first period, the only 3 goals in the final 40 minutes of the game. So I do think you get an early push with some of these teams. But you're right. Those first period unders have been absolutely fantastic in the postseason. Do you think the Rangers come out on top in that other series? What do you think? Rangers, Panthers in the East final?
So I bet the Rangers plus 140 before the series. I think that's just a dead coin flip series. Every game should be right. The favorite should be minus 120. The home team should be minus 120 in my mind in every game in that series. And if they're not, I'm going to be playing the home team with some value. I've already played the Rangers. I believe they're plus 105 for game 2. I just think it should be minus 120 for the home team. That series should go 7. Should be phenomenal.
Love it. Great stuff, Mike Somich. I'm sure you'll be talking a lot more ponies as we lead up to the Preakness in a couple weeks. We appreciate the time, pal.
Thanks, guys. Good luck today.
Good stuff. A numbers game concludes on the other side here from downtown Las Vegas.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Play-in tournament through the finals, we've got you covered. DK, same-game parlays, live betting odds boost, so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code VSiN. New customers bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSiN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Great stuff here on A Numbers Game. We appreciate Mike Somich for hopping on. Jay Kahn in our first hour talked a little NHL as well. Go back and watch those segments because there is good actionable information in both of them. We'll try to wrap things up on an actionable note. Jared Smith, Kelly Bidlin here with you today. It'll be Matt Brown tomorrow. We wish Gil the best this week as he is on vacation. But the NBA postseason, obviously center stage. Let's go through our cards tonight, Kelly. I'll give you my props that I like first. I already gave you the Gobert over 13. I actually went 13.5 rebounds and assists. I added the assists on there as well. And I think I'm also, I haven't gotten to the window on it yet, but I am definitely betting a same game parlay in some capacity. Jokic over points, Murray over assists, Gordon over assists, and then Nuggets on the money line. So I'll do like a Nuggets centric parlay. Yeah.
You've got that path.
Yep. Where I'm trying to like game script it out and correlate some legs. I do usually one of those lot. I call them lotto. You know, lottos every game. They're my fun sprinkles.
Throw $20 down.
100%. On the Knicks side, I do have some pretty significant action tonight. So I went Brunson over points. I got 33.5 last night. That's up to like 35.5 now. But still, I think 40 is kind of like the, I don't want to say ceiling, but I'd expect I'd expect 40 tonight.
What's funny is I'm a little worried about this game tonight. Like, I'm not getting involved with anything game wise. Obviously, I love the Knicks series, but man, I'm shocked they opened it that low. 35.5 seems a little bit more appropriate. I mean, what have this guy's done recently? Like, I don't know how you're setting a point, Rob.
40, he's averaging 40 in the playoffs.
It's incredible.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
35.5 sounds more appropriate.
Yeah. I think a way to a fun sprinkle, you know, if you want to, you know, correlate those legs, Brunson to score 40 and the Knicks to win, I think is a fantastic same. I'm guessing that's around 3 or 4 to 1 based on off the top of my head. I like the role player unders for the Pacers tonight. I bet Nesmith under points and assists, 18.5. I bet McConnell under rebounds. How is McConnell getting 3 rebounds tonight against Josh Hart? You see the Josh Hart comment? Called him a real, I think he called him like a pastor, like a real, like, the comment on Josh Hart about TJ McConnell was really funny. I think they're going to be really aggressive with this second unit for the Pacers tonight, because the way I see this game playing out, I think the first unit for the Pacers is formidable. Halliburton and Siakam, we'll see what the Miles Turner matchups look like. Nesmith is a starter, but he gets a lot of those second unit minutes when they bring on McConnell and Obi Toppin, who's the other, tour de force backup player that's gotten a ton of run in the playoffs. He's had some really good games against the Bucks. But I don't,
revenge spot, Jared.
Yeah, revenge spot against the Knicks tonight.
He's one guy I would think can't get that much run there this series. But like you said, the Pacers, they play a lot of guys, so we'll see.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Toppin's points prop tonight is 9.5. His rebounding prop over at DraftKings is 4.5. Heavy juice to the under. Again, here's how I see this game. It is tough to go. I think game one's always the toughest of any 7-game series to bet. But here's the script that I see. The Knicks defensively start out maybe a little bit slow. The Pacers' first unit has some early success. And then they go to their second unit. And that's when the Knicks lock the game down. Because I think the drop-off, first of all, the Knicks don't have a second unit. The first unit is the second unit. They don't substitute. So, and they have this unbelievable way of sustaining the level throughout the entire game, which for a team that does not play more than, I want to say, 5 guards the whole game, that is remarkable that they can maintain that defensive level on the perimeter for basically 48 minutes. But when the Pacers go to Toppin and they get Nesmith those extended minutes and Ben Shepherd's the guy that's relied upon to score, Obi Toppin's coming off the bench, I think that's where the Knicks have a significant advantage in this series, because for the most part, those guys are going to be going up against the Knicks starters. And to me, that's when the series or the game will tilt. I think the Pacers starting fast, Pacers first quarter, I could see all of that playing out. And then the second unit comes on, and that's when the Knicks have an advantage. So my handicap is, I think as the series goes on,
those role players will get significantly less time. Now,
agreed.
That's going to make things difficult for the starters because the Indiana starters aren't used to playing those minutes. That's why as this series goes further and further along, I think the Knicks will have more and more of an advantage. But my point being, in game one, if the second unit gets blasted, and then let's say in the third, fourth quarter, that second unit doesn't get as much time, I think that's where the unders on the second unit players for the Pacers makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I like that. And just overall series-wise, I completely agree with you. I'm a little bit more nervous about this game tonight. The further this series extends, I think the Knicks have more of an advantage. I got to apologize to Obi Toppin. I didn't realize how
he's had a really good postseason.
How efficient of a series he had against the Bucks. How about this? 19.2 minutes on average through the six games last series, okay? He averaged 5.8 rebounds and 12.3 points in 19 minutes of play during that series. It's incredible.
So I bet a lot of Pacer second unit overs.
I just don't know where he fits in this matchup as well.
On the bench?
Yeah.
Like, again, I think the one thing that you will watch, if you're not a Knicks fan like me, you didn't watch the first round of the playoffs, but now you're like, all right, I got to pay attention now. The thing you will notice about the Knicks tonight is they have this uncanny ability to just maintain a level with the same guys on the floor. Like we were talking about it in the break, the substitution chart for the Knicks in one of the games against the Sixers was like Hartenstein for Robinson, Robinson for Hartenstein.
That was a whole half.
That's it.
That was a whole half.
That's it. Like the guys on the floor to start the game are the guys on the floor for pretty much the whole game. And that's where I think the Pacers are going to struggle to match that level because the second unit, don't get me wrong, Obi Toppin, it's been a nice little run for you here in the postseason. I don't think you're going to have as easy of a time navigating the Knicks starting unit, basically, as you did the Bucks second unit, which was pretty much the Bucks third unit, because the entire Bucks starting unit was on the MASH squad for the first part of the series. So
you kind of just talked me into a bet. Obi Toppin under 14.5 points and rebounds.
Unders on all the Pacers secondary players the whole series. I think Halliburton's going to have a tough series, too, but the volume with Halliburton will eventually get him over.
Yeah.
I think as the series goes on, the minutes for the second unit will shrink. Now, to be fair, if tonight is like a 20-point hellacious blowout, well, then the second unit will get a lot of garbage time. That is the danger with going under on second unit guys, is garbage time in the NBA, which usually hurts props to the over for the starters, helps guys like an Obi Toppin who might get the final 5 minutes on the floor because the Knicks are up 20. I don't think that's how the game's going to go.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah,
because I think this is going to be a tight game. But to me, I think in general, if we're talking generalizations for the series, I think the price you're seeing for the role players for the Pacers today, the highest they will be for the entire series. Maybe you get a little bit of a bump at home. Mm-hmm. Role players do play better at home. Yeah, yeah. But for the games at the Garden, 1, 2, 5, 7. Tonight will be the highest number you see for the Pacers, you know, Nesmith and Shepard and Toppin and McConnell and all those role players that aren't the main ball handlers for the Pacers and the main scorers. Again, I'm talking about Turner, Siakam, and Halliburton. The other series is interesting. I think we've overbaked the Nuggets, but you can't bet the T-Wolves tonight unless you think they're going to get greedy. And I think this is a T-Wolves team that I could see getting greedy. A lot of times these younger teams...
They're damn good.
Can I go on a limb? I think they're going to win the series.
Yeah, I think they are too. Yeah,
I think they're better than Denver. Denver has not looked very gangbusters so far in this series. They've looked beatable. Minnesota, who by the way was an underdog with home court against the Suns, awful price on that series, but Minnesota looks to be a team that is playing with confidence. And when a young team in the playoffs finds confidence, that's where they get really scary.
Yeah, I'm taking a bit of a stand tonight and laid the 5 with Denver, but
the market says Denver's going to win this game, but I think Minnesota wins the series.
Minnesota, this I can tell you, Jared, I'll be betting Denver tonight. I don't really foresee myself betting them again throughout this series because Minnesota and Anthony Edwards specifically might just be turning into that unstoppable force in front of our eyes here in the NBA playoffs. I mean, the defense, I want to bring this nugget up from Zach Cohen. I know he wrote about on VSiN.com. Great series breakdowns by JVT and Zach over there.
Yeah, check that out. They're doing a great job.
During the regular season, Jared, Minnesota led the league non-garbage time defensive rating this season at 108.9. The gap between where the Timberwolves and the second best defensive team in the Magic was the same gap between where Orlando and 13th ranked Memphis is. Like, that's how good of a defense they have. And then you have Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns playing amazingly efficient offense. This team's wrecking ball right now. I'm getting in front of them tonight. I'm hoping to steal one. I'm a little nervous about it, but I gotta lay five with the Nuggets in a must-win scenario for them.
I like the way you played it out, too. Nuggets to win tonight, T-Wolves to win the series makes a lot of sense.
I love that,
Bob. Hey, this has been a blast. Jay Kahn, Mike Somich, we appreciate the guest. Kelly Bidlin did a great job booking the show. I'm Jared Smith in for Gil. Rest of the VSiN crew, also thank you for your time as well. Appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow here on A Numbers Game.